Hello and welcome to a new episode of Contentorky. Today we're going to be talking about SEO. I'm going to talk to my guest Kat, who is a UX writer with a background in SEO and journalism. And besides talking a little bit of how she got into UX writing, we're specifically going to focus on why SEO is important for content design and why it's maybe something that you've been overlooking. I hope you're excited for this episode. I think it's super interesting. Thanks so much for tuning in and enjoy. Welcome to Content Rookie Kat. I'm so happy to have you on today. Please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Thank you so much, Nicole. My name is Katrin. I'm a UX writer. And I have a background in SEO copywriting. That's for the book. But for the content people, I also have a background in journalism. And I've tried everything content related. So yeah, basically that's it.
Oh, wow. Thanks so much. A lot there I want to ask you about, because, for example, I get a lot of questions from journalists about transitioning into UX writing, content design. So maybe we can start there really briefly. So your background is in journalism. Why are you working as a UX writer now?
Okay. So when I started off writing for the web, I actually started with SEO. And then I found journalism interesting. And I think we content people, we are just curious people. So we want to, like, you know, try out things and see what things are like. So I dived into journalism. I was writing for African Leadership Magazine at the time. Mm-hmm. So writing news stories to, what do they call them? Original articles. And a lot of other articles. So during that period, I realized that I had a lot of transferable skills for UX writing. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about research. And also the way journalistic writing is sort of similar to what we do in UX. Mm-hmm. In the sense that there's like an outline, there is a flow, and, you know, you're really just about pushing out the most relevant information in your copy or content or whatever it is you're writing about. And those were really helpful. Those skills I had at the time, they were like easy to transfer into UX. So yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting and a very good answer to all of those journalists that are looking to maybe get into UX writing. There's a lot of transferable skills, as you said, and a lot you probably already know how to do as a journalist before you even start with UX writing. So thanks so much for sharing. You said you've worked a lot with SEO, and that's kind of also the main thing we want to talk about today, because a while ago I tweeted about wanting to create an episode about trends in content design and UX writing, and you reached out right away and you were like, hey, Nicole, I would really like to talk about how SEO and UX are mutually exclusive and how SEO can benefit UX writing. And I think that's super cool, and I totally agree with that. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, so SEO and UX, it's kind of a controversial topic in our industry. There's this like gap that, you know, teams are experiencing. And right now, when collaboration is, you know, the goal instead of, you know, competition or whatever there is, I feel like teams can, you know, leverage from both sides, that's UX and SEO. And on Google's side, I'll refer to Google because, I mean, they're like the biggest search engines, yeah? So yeah. I'll just refer to them. And on Google's side, you will notice over time, they've really been trying to, you know, embrace and make people embrace user experience, starting from their rank brain, a ranking factor. They also released the EAT, that's expertise, authority, trustworthiness, and their most recent updates, helpful content. It's all centered around the users, right? So this tells us that Google is putting the user first, right? Yeah. But when you go to the user experience side of things, I haven't really seen a lot of people embrace SEO And I don't know why that is, but there is a lot to benefit. As UX writers or content designers, empathy is like at the core of what we do. And I always wonder, what's the point of, you know, writing something so functional, so seamless when people won't see it, right? So yeah. If you could just like take some time, upskill with just the basis of SEO, I'm talking about keyword research, you would gain a better understanding of people's search intent. And these intents could be informational, they could be navigational, commercial, or transactional. It just informs your writing, your overall writing and content strategy. And you'd see that people would find your content easily, more relatable, and overall, it just reduces the user's the steps in the user's journey per time, honestly. So yeah, that's one of the many reasons why I think UX writers can benefit from SEO.
Yeah, I think I think it's really spot on what you're saying, and it's a great summary of the reason why. I totally agree with this. As someone that kind of also transitioned into UX writing from a more copywriting, content writing and content marketing focus, I know how to do SEO, and I've worked with SEO in the past a lot. And it's funny because even when I'm put on a content design project, I usually ask if there's any kind of keyword research or SEO strategy in place that I can look at. And usually the client or whoever's the project owner is always very confused why I'm asking about that. It's often something they haven't even considered, or they maybe think that I'm just looking for a way to charge them for more hours. But as you've said, it's actually so important to look at that because it can tell you so much about the information that the users, the site visitors are actually looking for, and can be a really great way to inform, for example, if you're creating like a content outline from scratch. This is like such an important and major information source for you. You don't have to come up with it yourself. And essentially it's a form of research, right? It's data that you're looking at. Really good. So I'm curious, can you, or maybe you want, do you want to share a recent project where you have been working with SEO in a content design perspective and how you set that up?
Okay. So, I was working on this project where I sort of did the information architecture as well. I was part of that team, you know, cast sorting and the rest. And I realized that my knowledge of SEO really contributes in that area. You know, when we're doing stuff like, you know, naming convention or content taxonomy and just trying to name menus, setting sections, and all those things. I figured that the way I understand SEO, and I'm talking about analyzing keywords, you know, the intents, and then understanding the relevance, because it's one thing to research, and it's another thing to analyze and interpret, right? So I'm able to you know, interpret this keyword data, and then rate the ones that are relevant and, you know, throw off the ones that are not relevant. And this really helped, informed my information architecture process at the time. And my team really had me to thank for that. Secondly, in content design, another benefits of understanding SEO is, you know, in justifying your work. You know, as UX writers, part of what we do is always justifying why we chose this word, why we chose this strategy, and all of that. And a good understanding of SEO would really help you with search data, because obviously you've done the keyword research, you have that data, you can present it to stakeholders, you can show them, they can see in life that people are asking certain questions, right?
Yeah.
People are using certain terms to describe what they are looking for or describe their problems. It's just, it's there. Nobody can deny it. And these are the two key areas recently that I've really used. Or lastly, search term analysis as well. And I believe every content designer can agree. There's this point where you just have like two words and you're sort of caught in between. Which do I use? Do we use I don't know the example to use right now, but then you can be caught between two words. And instead of just using your instincts, a quick search for Google Trends, when you go there, you put in your the two keywords that, you know, you're confused about, and then Google Trends would, you know, raise this graph, this graphical data.
Yeah.
And if you're someone that understands the way these things work, how people search, you've gotten your answer already. I mean, it's so cool. I don't know why people are sleeping on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's great. And a great tip with Google Trends as well. I actually always tell this to my content marketing students to use it as well when they're looking for content angles for any of their articles or social media posts or whatever they're writing. And they're also always shocked because they usually don't consider it. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about this briefly before we hit record, but I'm curious how you pitch your SEO angle to clients, because sometimes it feels like SEO really isn't on the radar at all for content design projects. So how do you make clear, hey, this is something we should look at, something we should research?
Okay. First of all, I'm going to start from the angle of seeing is believing. So from my personal experience, both clients that have come from the user experience need or the SEO need, one thing I always do is to stay true to my process. I don't do black hat SEO. It's white, I don't know, let me just explain. So black hat is like, you know, doing tricky things just to trick the system.
Yeah.
And white hat is doing everything by the book. And so empathy is always at the core of what I do. I don't keyword stuff or whatever that is. And when people see these things, when I write, let's say I'm talking about website content now, let's say when I write website copy, and in about 3 months' time or even less, the content is ranking on Google, the clients will come back, right?
Mm.
And so that's the first angle I want to start from. Seeing is believing. Then secondly, my current team right now, I didn't really pitch that to them. I met the team that way. They have they have the experienced team. Yeah, they have the experienced team managing SEO. And it was really impressive to see, right? Because SEO used to be a marketing thing. And there's always this this drama, which comes first, SEO or UX. It doesn't really have to be that way. They can be this major. The user should come first. And I think in trying to pitch to clients, I don't think there is any playbook to use. I always go by seeing is believing, right? So if you have a strong proof of work, I'm talking about your portfolio, people just want to, like, you know, rely on that and give it a try, because I don't think there is any magic words you say to someone that maybe has had bad experiences with SEO agencies, and they're like, you know what, no, I don't want any robotic content. How do you tell them that it's not going to be robotic? So they have to, like, see and then believe and give it a try. So yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And you're kind of touching on this here as well. But so SEO is both kind of known as a marketing tactic, but also I feel like a lot of people hear it and think, okay, this is really complicated. I'm never going to understand this. It's actually not that complicated. I'm sure you'd agree with me. So I'm just wondering if you have any tips for people who have never really worked with SEO, how they can get into it or how they can get comfortable with at least trying to learn it to a point where they could use it with their content design work.
Okay. SEO is not complicated, but just like you said, you know, for instance, content design as a job role, we have people from different backgrounds and you know, trying to empathize with the people that are not coming from marketing background, it could be challenging for them. Yeah. So I would always suggest to start with the basis, and the basis is empathy. Just have empathy at the forefront, because no matter the tools you have, first of all, SEO tools are very expensive to start with. So no matter the tools you have, these tools will give you data, but it all boils down to your understanding of what you're looking for and how you can interpret this data. So I would always go with empathy. What is your intent? You, the person that is doing the research, what is your intent? What do you hope to do, right? Now, when you've been able to answer that, start with the basis. And by the basis, I mean keyword research. Just go on Google, type in whatever it is you want to find, right? And then there's this column, people also ask. That's also another place to mine data, because you're able to see semantic keywords. Those are like synonyms of what people are searching for, sort of. Then at the bottom, that's the footer of Google, you would also see related questions people are asking for. These things are pretty easy.
Mm.
Just copy, have like a swipe file or like a copy docs or something. Just copy these things and put in there. And before you know it, you're already mining data. You just don't know it. There's no hard selling there or hard work. Then if you want to go further, you could start using tools like, I use UberSuggest a lot.
Me too.
And they have a free plan. I use Answer the Public. There are a couple of tools like that you could use. These tools are easy. The UX is great. It's not complicated. You could also use SEMrush, maybe if you have like a lot of money to pay, right? But then this is just like my basic beginner process for SEO. Then when it comes to imputing these keywords in your copy, there's actually no manual, just be human, because even Google is telling us to write for humans. Google wants humans to write for humans. So just be human. Think about content hierarchy. Your title, try to impute, you know, the keyword in your title. In your body copy, try to, you know, just impute the keyword easily, let it be readable and comprehensible. And you're already on your way to understanding SEO. It doesn't really have to be dramatic.
Yeah, I think that was a really great summary. And as you already mentioned, SEO keywording is also basically just content hierarchy, right? You have like some main keywords that you kind of complement with sub keywords that you can use in your body text or ingress or whatever. So even just looking at that and what UberSuggest spits out for you there in regards to keyword clusters can be super useful, I think, to just make sure that your content follows the right information flow.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks so much, Kat. I mean, I feel like we haven't even been talking that long, but there's already been so much valuable knowledge in here. So I'm not even sure where to take it from here. I just want people to listen to this twice so far and kind of, you know, digest it. But I'm curious. So I want to kind of go back to what we spoke about in the beginning. So you've worked a lot with SEO. You've worked a little bit with journalism. Now you're in content design. And I'm just wondering... Yeah. From your well of experience, what are your main tips for those that are looking to break into UX writing, no matter from what background they come from?
Okay. One thing that always helps me is to connect the dots in all of my experiences.
Yeah.
I am a good storyteller, and I think every writer should be one.
Mm.
And the thing about storytelling is being able to connect those little dots and, you know, just transition from, you know, the beginning to the middle to the end. And these are things that we started reading in books, and these are practical things that I apply in my life as well. Like, for example, I am a microbiology major. I studied microbiology in college. And I don't see that as a disadvantage. I tell people microbiology prepared me for research, because I, at the time in school, I was studying about microorganisms that we can't see with our bare eyes. I mean, so we would research textbooks. We would, you know, research Google just to see these things, what they look like, so that when we do our testing in the lab, we're able to identify what we're looking for, right? And that's how I transferred those skills through copywriting, SEO copywriting, through journalism, and now to content design. So my advice for people is to never see yourself as someone who is like at a disadvantage. Try to, you could just take like a day, do like an exercise, like a journey map of your career and your experience. Yeah, that's actually a thing. It's not just for projects. Draw like a map of your, you know, your life experiences. Let's say you're a teacher, for instance. You've written curriculums before. You've handled, you know, kids could be, it could be really, really overwhelming sometimes. You've handled classrooms. Mm. And those things are things that you can transfer, right? Because in content design, sometimes we collaborate with customer service as well. I do that. I listen to their calls. I read their tickets. And you would see different kind of people. Now, as a teacher, you've already been exposed to something like that in your classrooms, different kind of use cases. And that's what we work with as content designers. Let's say for someone who is coming from another writing background, it's easier than you think. You just don't know it because, first of all, we have different titles as UX writers.
Yeah.
Content designers, UX writers, product writers. So you probably have done something content design related, but you just don't know it yet. So just introspect, sit down, introspect, you know, go through your Google Drive, your work, and just be able to present these things from a UX perspective, and you'll be good.
Yeah, great. I think that is great advice again as well. So this makes me wonder, yeah. I feel like the people who are going to be listening to this episode, they're going to feel like, hey, Kat has a lot of great knowledge and I want to know more. So I'm wondering, do you offer any kind of mentoring, coaching? Do you have any kind of resource that people can follow? Besides, of course, your Twitter, which I'm going to link, that will, you know, help them keep up with all of those knowledge bombs that you're dropping.
Yeah, so I have a blog on my website, thecatcopy.com,
mm-hmm.
and I also have a monthly one-on-one mentorship with a very select group of people looking for clarity. You know, content is like, we have different type of content these days, and a lot of people reach out to me, they are confused. They're like, where do I focus? Do I do copywriting? Do I do UX writing? And all of that. So I have like a one-on-one mentorship whereby I help people gain clarity. And the people that settle for UX writing, I also take them onto another type of coaching as well. So that's pretty much it.
All right. Thanks so much. I'll definitely link all of that in the info box for anyone that is looking to get in touch with you. Kat, thanks so much for sharing your knowledge today. I think this was amazing. Is there any kind of last thing, last thought, last idea that you just want to share with the audience before we wrap it up?
Yeah. So I think when it comes to SEO for content design, I think they shouldn't really sweat it. It's easy peasy. Like I said, just to, you know, recap on everything I said, it's just Google. Google is your best tool to use, trust me, and your basic understanding of people and their search intent. So for me, I think they go well together. They go quite well together. Like, I don't know, Romeo and Juliet, something like that. At least no one is getting poisoned. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
That's what I think.
Thank you so much for sharing. I think that was a great last word. Thanks so much for joining today, Kat, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
That was it for today's episode of Content Rookie. As usual, thanks for sharing, following, listening. If you have any feedback, feel free to reach out and check the info box to connect with me or our guest today, Kat. See you next time.